All right. Let's have a word of prayer.
And then we will sing a song.
Well, would you lead us, please, brother, if you would.
Father, come this day, Lord, and thank Christ, safe and well to your service today, Lord. Lord, give us the help of our strength, Lord, especially our health, Lord, in these times of sickness, Lord. Those people in the world that have COVID-19 help, Lord, make us stronger, Lord, and help them beat that dreadful virus, Lord. And Lord, and we send a message for them to save their souls, Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, God, and come to you from our sins, Lord. Lord, pray for the people who make it out today, Lord, with the McMahon family, save their souls, Lord, bring them to the food of the world, Lord, cross and save them, Lord, completely and wholly, within and without, Lord. Lord, pray for Frank as he finishes in London, Lord, help him provide for him and keep him safe and well, Lord, and minister on to him also, Lord. Pray for Esther, Lord, help with her legs and her skin condition, Lord, our health, physical and spiritual well-being, Lord, also, Lord, help her and keep her and bless her and leave you her pain, Lord. For Stephen, his leg, Lord, his health, Lord, also Pat, Lord, help him with her diabetes, Lord, and help him and provide for him, Lord, and save them and keep them, Lord, and aid them and abet them and keep them safe and well, Lord, especially Stephen with his leg, Lord, his health, Lord. And with Leonard, Lord, also, Lord, help him and keep him, Lord, minister on to him, Lord, and help him as he's in Malaysian manners, Lord, and give him some spiritual well-being, Lord, and help him there also, Lord. Bless this day, Lord, with our missionaries, Lord, with the Cosgroves, the Haynes, the Ashcroft, the Bissetts, the Sealys, Lord, all Foxes, and Lord, other ones, Lord, help them also, Lord, and Lord, give them every good gift, Lord, and also the physical, monetary, and spiritual assistance, Lord, in this needy time, Lord, help them, Lord, provide them and keep them safe, Lord. Bless the Lord with the people that have got sicknesses that we pray for, Lord, with Gemma, Lord, with her, she's in a full, Lord, help her with her cancer, Lord, let the treatment be effective, Lord, and staving off the cancer, Lord, and make a turnaround in the life, Lord, so that basically that and send somebody in the life, Lord, to talk to them about Jesus and the way of the cross, Lord, that she may come to follow the cross and be saved, Lord. With Deborah and her husband, who's got dementia, help them and keep them, Lord, and provide for her, Lord, and help her get along, Lord, and give her strength, Lord, and every good gift, Lord, and provide for her as well, Lord. And Lord, will us today, Lord, and provide for us to be one of our number in the service, Lord. And Lord, help us each and every head that's covered, and each and every head that's represented, Lord. Give us this day, get us through this day, Lord, and the next coming week, Lord, and give us good words from the service, Lord, and from the ministry, Lord. From the sermon, Lord, may it be meet upon our spiritual need, Lord, for thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. If you would like to take your little black books and turn to hymn number 4 in them, hymn number 4 is Holy, Holy, Holy. We'll remain seated for this first of our hymns.
Darkness.
26, we had a request for hymn number 26, Because He Lives. Amen. We haven't sung this one very much, but we will get a wee bit of a shot at it today. Wilson, if you're fit, we'd like to have you come up and bring us the Bible reading, if you would, brother. Yeah. Right.
Reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, courtesy of Steve. No curveballs on this one. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Jesus Christ to God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away? How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have much hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. The children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, then I shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Norma. We are on the little blue, light blue, pale blue, baby blue prayer lists. Sky blue prayer lists this morning. If you want to make sure that you get one and take some time to read over these prayer lists specifically and call those names out in the halls of heaven whenever you're saying your prayers, even just once in the week, would be great, because even with our reduced numbers this morning, there's still enough people praying once in the week to have everybody's name mentioned once every day to the Lord, and that doesn't include Pat and Steve and Esther and John and Frank, and you could be called out two or three times in the day, and I would helps me to know that my name is called out, not just by myself, Lord, help me, but there are other people praying, Lord, help Mark, and probably saying, because he needs a lot of it, and help his wife doubly so, because she needs it whenever she's tending to him. But please do remember all the people that are mentioned there. I find it very easy, because I just pray for where I close my eyes and I see you sitting in church, and that's how I pray for everybody. But please do remember. Don't forget our neighbours. Pray for Stephen. He told me yesterday it's a good job he got his job driving buses, because he's found he has bad arthritis in his left shoulder, so all of the work that he used to do doing gardens and stuff, that's now all done. And I pointed him in your direction, Ling, so you might get a phone call from him, Stephen next door. Yeah, so he might be. I told him to call down with you, because you were such a good help to me. I keep praying, I keep telling everybody to go and see Ling and she'll help you with your aches and pains. So, of course, do pray for Pat and Steve. Steve is he's just having a bad few days with lack of sleep, but he's been given morphine to help with the pain. Please do pray about that as well. We miss Christine. She's not keeping the best. I think she has like a head cold. She went out with, she was saying wet hair one day, and that sorted her right out. Please do pray that she gets over that. She has a house and a mother and a son to look after. So please do pray for her. Not forgetting Carol and John and Stephen. Please remember them. We miss them too. And of course, please do pray for Leonard. The reason I'm looking, because Leonard used to sit away back there before we brought him away up here. Please do pray for Leonard. And all of those that have been and gone. We miss Frank as well. He's back in the big smoke. Remember him. And those that have been and gone, the Lemunions, the Hoes, the Robinsons, the Borlands, please pray for these souls as well. Of all our neighbours that we still minister to, and the folks around and about, Esther's neighbours too, please don't forget Rita's girls. That's Elaine and Hilary and their families at this time too. I'm sure it has been a difficult year for them as well as many others that have lost loved ones at this difficult time. Please do be much in prayer. Difficult things are going to happen. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, regardless of what anybody else says or does. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, and we need to keep our walk, keep our minds straight, our heads screwed on. Has anybody got any specific prayer requests that we would need to make a note of and have everybody praying about?
Yes. She was in there, but she's in the fold now.
Is she?
She's on basically her last treatment. They've got firm. I think after that, that's the problem, and she's done.
So this is the last treatment they can give her?
Yeah, she's kind of in the fold, so it's last chance to live, so it's just not too good.
Okay. All right. That's your boss's sister.
Sorry, daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law. All right. Please do remember her. A lot of these you won't remember unless you actually read the prayer list. God doesn't mind if you pray with your eyes open, by the way. I have that in good authority. Because it says pray constantly. And if you're going to be praying all the time and walking around with your eyes closed, you need to have either echolocation or a very accurate GPS, or be like Daredevil out of Marvel. So you're allowed to keep your eyes open when you pray. Please do remember that lady, Gemma. Any other prayer requests? Eddie and Anne next to Esther and their grandson. And just round the corner, from Billy's old neck of the woods, there's Sally and there's Kate. Kate's not doing very well at this particular time either. And there's Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington. And Pearl Hetherington's not doing very well at this moment either. What's stomach bothers? So please, Pearl is what, 80? 82. She's had a hip replacement, and did she have a hip refresh as well? And she took sepsis there just after that too. So she's had a rough ride this past 5 years, and she needs our prayers as well. She has been, I don't think she's been to church in over a year. The church has been out to her a few times, and we've been delivering the CDs from Bethel to her and helping her with stuff. But please do pray for Pearl as well, if you would. Any other prayer requests? Any private prayer requests? Okay. Well, put Esther and Pat and Steve down. I'm sure they're praying a lot. No other private prayer requests. There's a lot going on, and things are changing on a dime. Please do pray for our country. Please do pray especially for America. Big things are happening. Please do pray for our freedoms. They're all coming under threat, and we need to keep exercising them, otherwise we'll lose them. And we need to keep making sure that we vote for the right people and put the right people in government, otherwise we'll lose that too. There's a lot going on, so please do be much in prayer. Anybody got any thanks? All still alive and kicking? Steve would say, for God's many blessings. Yes, indeed. Amen. Frank got back to London safe and sound. Yep, we're all good. All right. She's been back home for, is it a week or so now? Aye. We'll put that down.
Is she okay?
Thanks, Krista. All right. Thank you for that. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, do indeed thank you for loving us and watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for your long suffering and your patience, for your Son, for your Word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, for the offer of your ear at any time, day or night. And you know all the things that are going on in the world, Lord, and all the things that that we have upon our hearts. And I pray you, please, Lord, that you would work with the sick and touch bodies. I think especially on Steve and Pearl at this time, and Esther too. And Kate, and we know the most important thing is not that we spend 120 years in this world, but that we live with you forever and eternity. And pray you most of all, Lord, that these souls that we have spoken about that don't know you, Lord, would come to know you as Savior. And our brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray your will be done. Pray you for comfort and grace, and Lord, if it would be your will, for healing too. For an arm around those, Lord, that are still mourning the loss of loved ones. Please, Lord, I pray you. Please help them this day, I pray. For the leaders of our countries, for, Lord, for all the things that are going on in the world, I pray you for another chance. I pray that there would be, in the words of Abraham to you, Father, thousands of years ago, that there would be 10 righteous people found in Sodom and Gomorrah. And let's be honest, our countries have pretty much turned into that. I pray you, Lord, for forgiveness for us, or for a cleansing and a refreshing. I pray you, Lord, for a chastening or a comforting and a strengthening, for portions of wisdom. And I pray you, Father, please, that you would be one of our number during the service at this time. Lord, for our private prayer requests, pray that you would grant these according to your will, and for our thanks for getting Taylor safely home, Frank across to England, for bringing Mary home from the hospital, and wee Shannon too. For all the souls, Lord, that are going through such difficult times, I pray you, please, that a forgotten tract or a New Testament or the words of an old Sunday school song or of a message would be just what they needed to draw them to the foot of the cross. Just thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength and the desire and the ability and freedom to be here today. I pray you, please, for those churches that have closed, Father, that you would open them, that you would keep the home fires burning, and Lord, that we would always be found faithful. Work in each one of our hearts and minds during this service, Lord, and use them to sharpen us and prepare and strengthen us. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. All right. Hymn number 137, if you'd like to take your big hymn books and turn to 137. It's called In Times Like These, and if you're able, you're very welcome to stand with me as we sing.
Savior, in times like these, you need an anchor, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. I'm sort of in two minds about, will we sing another one? Aye, we've only sung three. 245. 245, the old account was set. One way or another, it's men talking that hold the service back on Sunday morning. It's either the one at the front or it's the ones out the back. But one way or another.
A time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today, for He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today, for He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. When In that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled, long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus He hath provided for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, you settled long ago. Settled long ago, and my record's clear today, for He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago.
Amen. Thank you for the hymn picks today, much appreciated, and for the Bible readings for Steve. For Steve picking it and getting Norman to read it, best keep him sweet in case he ends up giving you some of the early chapters in Matthew or Luke. That would be interesting. And we ended up reading in, is it Genesis 5, back at Steve's house, and Pat would be much of a mind like yourself there, Norman. Luke chapter 8, if you want to take and turn there, and I never even gave it a thought, and we ended up reading about all of those names in the lineage right up until Abraham. So some of them are very interesting. Get your tongue all twisted up. We're in Luke chapter 8. I want to begin by reading the first handful of verses, the first three verses actually in Luke chapter 8. I want to spend just a moment or two on the subject of ministering. Ministering. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto Him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable." Now, I'm taking verses 2 and 3 as our text this morning, and I'd like to speak on the subject of ministering. Brother Christy, would you lead us in a word of prayer, if you would, please?
Lord, thankful for this day, Lord, the opportunity, Lord, the ability of freedom to still come into your house, Lord, this morning. In these days, thank you, Lord, that you continue to meet with us, Lord, that you continue to provide, Lord, sermons for the preacher, Lord, that you continue to minister hearts and minds as well. May I ask, Lord, that you do it today again this morning, please. Remember those, Lord, that aren't here, but, Lord, are listening, and I pray that you minister each one as well. Lord, for sick, Lord, I think of Pat and Steve, Lord, mm-hmm. for Christine at this time, Lord, for Leonard as well. Touch each one, Lord, please give a portion of grace and comfort, Lord, and Lord, just heal those, Lord, and be according to your will as well. Remember those, Lord, that are ministering to their needs to provide mm-hmm. strength and comfort for them. And Lord, I ask that you be here amongst us, that you deal in hearts and minds, Lord, especially the preachers at this time, that you guide and lead him, Lord, in each word that needs spoken, Lord, each thought that he needs to retain. I pray that you'd speak through it. Lord, be in our hearts and minds. Give us discernment here this morning, Lord. Let your light shine in our hearts, Lord, so that we can spread it forth abroad in the world. Save lost souls, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. There are only 3 or 4 verses. We'll read them again And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. I am sure you're quite familiar with the parable that he spoke unto the people. It was the one about the sower and the seed, basically telling us about the four different types of people that there are in the world whenever it comes to the gospel. People whose hearts are hard and won't listen. People whose hearts are ready to receive the word of God, but there's weeds and things. There's things in their lives that just get sidelined by stuff. Cares of the world, riches, and one thing and another. People that don't even hear it. That's the hard ground. The stony ground we mentioned already. People are very shallow, and whenever the rubber comes to meet the road, it's a different story. They're not Christians anymore. And of course, the last ones, people that are ready to receive the gospel, know they need it, and with great joy accept the gospel and keep it and live for Jesus. And that's an important parable. They're all important parables. But Jesus had to get there. And he didn't just supernaturally spring into existence. Well, he did in his mother's womb, but he didn't just spring into existence as a fully formed man and start preaching. He was prepared. And a certain woman, 30 plus years prior to that, said, "Be it unto the handmaid of the Lord." She was chosen by God to bring forth the baby Jesus. She was the mother of Jesus Christ, the man. Although Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has no mother and no father, he was in the beginning with God, was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. There are three women mentioned. There is Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and I do believe she was mentioned a few other times in the Bible. She got pride of place, if you want to put it that way, being the first person to see the resurrected Jesus, and even went over to hug him and he said, "Don't touch me, because I've still to go up to heaven and I still have to pay or offer the payment for your sins in the throne room in heaven." Another woman, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward. Imagine that, even in the household of the man who did his best to kill Jesus a number of times and thought he had made it. I am sure whenever, or the same Herod, they're not the same Herod, but the same line of men, the same thinking of the men, thought they'd done it whenever they crucified him, nailed him to the cross. They were still people in his household that loved the Lord and took the money that he paid to minister to Jesus. And another lady by the name of Susanna. They're the three that are mentioned, obviously for some reason, but they were important enough to be mentioned. Because the Bible also says many others ministered unto him with their substance. Now, our Father in heaven, God the Father, could literally have put every single bite of food that Jesus needed to eat from the moment he was born till the day that he gave his life for us on the cross supernaturally into his mouth. He could have put every drop of water that Jesus' body needed, even when he was in the desert, supernaturally into his mouth from the day he was born until the day he gave his life for us on the cross. He could have done that. Well, within his power to do it, we know he could have done it. We know that he fed tens, hundreds of thousands of people in the wilderness. We know that he made food out of nothing to feed the thousands of souls that came to listen to Jesus, and he did it twice, just in case anybody missed it the first time. But he didn't. He didn't do it like that because we wouldn't get to do anything. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and the many others that gave to Jesus wouldn't have had an opportunity to have a part in Jesus' ministry. Because even now, 2,000 years later, these three women had a part in getting Jesus fed and watered and preaching the sermon that contained the parable of the sower and the seed. And even now they can say, we helped to do that. We did our little bit. We kept the Son of Man, his physical body, we kept it alive and going. We made it. Not that we made it possible for people to get saved, but we had a part in that. And I hope you get where I'm coming from. And it may have been difficult at one point. We know from the book of Acts that many people around Ananias and Sapphira gave portions of land and sold houses and gave the money to the disciples so the disciples could give to other churches and other believers groups around and about, and the disciples could actually eat themselves. We know that they did that. We know there were a few who went about it the wrong way and it cost them their lives. But I want for you to think for a moment and ask yourself about Mary Magdalene, who almost certainly was a prostitute, I think, by the accounts that were given of her. We don't know a thing about Joanna and Susanna, but they were obviously, they were healed, or they had devils cast out of them. They were obviously, to quote the scribes and the Pharisees, they were obviously sinners, known sinners, and they gave graciously and I am sure generously. And before we go any further, I am not looking for people to put more money in the plate in case you think I'm coming at it this way. I'm talking about ministering so that the word of God can get out there. That's your tithes and your offerings. That's completely separate. We're talking about doing what Jesus needs for to be done to get the word to where it needs to be heard. Do you think for one minute that whenever their lives were over, and it may have been many years after this, or it may have been shortly after this, or it may even have been in Christ's time as he walked and talked on the face of the earth and taught men and demonstrated his power and then gave his life, do you think for one instant that any of them regrets giving so that the word of God could be preached? Do you think they do? It may have been difficult back in the day because there was persecution from the Jews, and there was persecution from the Romans and from Herod. There was persecution literally on every side to this new, in quotes, sect of Judaism that came around. And I am sure it may have been difficult to give food, and it may have been difficult to give money, and it may have been difficult to set aside time to minister to Jesus, to do the things that need to be done. In many cases, we know that it cost people their lives, as we read into the book of Acts and Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and even further. But do you think for one moment today, now, as we sit in church, as we listen to this word, as we read this word, does anybody here think that these three ladies whose names were specifically mentioned, and indeed all those others that gave to keep Jesus and his disciples fed and watered and on their feet, do you think anybody regrets having done it? I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. Because as soon as someone that loves the Lord and has given and gone and sung and attended church and read their Bible and lifted many names up in prayer, as soon as this life is over and they open their eyes, when I say in paradise in quotes, in heaven, on the streets of gold, in a new and a glorified body, in the words of the song, they'll say, I wish I'd given him more. I could have given him more. I could have done more. Has anybody ever seen, what was that fellow that helped the Jews in the Second World War?
Schindler.
There was a film made of that, and there are some frightening scenes in it. It's not for the faint of heart to watch. But at the very, very end, whenever he was driving away, it was portrayed as having a bit of an emotional breakdown. And he said, this car could have been sold and saved 20 more Jewish people. This ring, I could have sold it and saved another Jewish person. Don't know if he ever got saved or ever trusted in God himself. But there'll come a moment in eternity when we stand in our glorified bodies with our sins wiped away, with a clear and a fresh mind, with no aches or pains, tears or fears evermore. And we will say, I wish I had given him more. It's amazing to think that this Mary Magdalene was one of the souls that ministered to Jesus at the same time as another woman who was pretty much royalty worked ministering to Jesus. The Bible gives us many examples of people that ministered to the preaching of the cross. Old Testament, we know Jesus wasn't about, but many people, the widow woman of Sarepta that ministered to Elijah, gave of her oil and the meal that she was going to bake, and she was going to bake a few loaves of bread, and her household was going to eat it, and then they were going to die of starvation. Elijah said, make a wee bit for me first. And the whole way through the famine, they never ran out of oil or meal until the rain started and the crops started growing again. And it doesn't mean that everybody was always reaching into their pocket. It says they ministered unto him of their substance. It might have been a few shekels or whatever passed for currency. It might have been a coat, or as we would say, a pair of boots or a pair of trousers or a change of underwear. It might have been a toothbrush and a shaving kit. It might have been contacts that they had or skills that they had acquired. Basically, anything that was under their control, any, in quotes, asset, they used to minister to Christ, to feed him, to water him, and his followers. They all trusted in God. They were all freed from their sins. I would say as saved as a person got until the Lord gave his life on the cross. And they all ministered to Jesus. I know there have been many examples. If I was to say to you today, or maybe to Joe Public, the greatest example of a Christian in this present day, they're not going to say Mike Pence anymore. They might say, Mother, do you remember Mother Teresa? That wee woman who spent pretty much her entire life in India, wasn't it? She worked for the richest, most powerful organization in the world. I think she maybe managed to get enough to eat and drink of a day and only slept a few hours every day, and she was out ministering to the poor, to the starving, to the disabled, to the orphaned, to anybody that she thought needed help. And there are people like that, and it's good to have people like that. And definitely, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, however. The Word of God tells us that if you're not saved, all of these things count for nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible, where it gives you what real love, real charitable, sacrificial, agape, I think it is, love. In the Bible it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, that's love, proper love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. In other words, without salvation, all of your fine words, all of your special deeds, and all of your skills, and even the very power that you wield, amounts to nothing. It won't save you. It will not get your soul a step closer to heaven. The only way to do that is to trust in God. Now, there's a couple of wee verses in Hebrews 11. Does anyone remember the name given to Hebrews 11? The fifth chapter of the Bible. And it gives a list of many men and indeed even women that trusted in God in the Old Testament, obviously. And the great things that God did for them and did through them. But the one verse that really sticks out is Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without trusting in God, it doesn't matter should you build. I think we read it not that long ago, earlier in, probably in Luke, where the Lord said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful works in your name? And what does the Bible record? The words that God will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, God wasn't happy with their works because instead of being done to please him, instead of being done to fulfill his will, that every soul should at least get a chance to hear the gospel, whether they choose to believe it or not, they are basically trying to buy their way into heaven. With their good works. Oh Lord, I did this. Isn't that not what they said? Lord, did we not cast out devils? Did we not build churches? Did we not have wonderful choirs? Did we not do like a Bible drop in the town? Did we not do this? And did we not get our picture in the paper and draw people's attention to you? And all that God is going to say is, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. This charity that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, that's the Spirit of God living in every Christian. That's the. It's not an emotion, it's a choice that we make to sacrifice of ourselves and indeed even ourselves because we got something so much greater than that. We are asked to sacrifice a little bit of our lives here and now because we've just been given an eternal life. And even with all of my best efforts and Dr. Yang's and Dr. Shang's best efforts, I will never be as fit and well and hale and hearty down here in this world as I will be in heaven, not because of anything that I did, but because I trusted in what Jesus did. And he's promised me a new body. He's promised me, a new mind, but a new being without my old sin nature. That's what he has promised and delivered for so many. You know the old verses in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not works, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. And for someone to try and do it their own way, oh, I served God, therefore I should get a better place in heaven, or I sold a house and like Ananias and Sapphira, and I gave X amount of thousands to the church. That doesn't save you. Those are byproducts of salvation. They are not salvation. Those are the results of having the Holy Spirit work on you, comfort you, awaken you, strengthen you, point you in the right direction, and provision you. Those are the results of loving Jesus. They will not make you love Jesus. Now that's, to do it another way, it's just seen as downright rebellion against the God's word. Like, who in their right mind does not want to get saved? Who in their right mind does not want to go to heaven? Who in their right mind is going to give up the free gift that costs you nothing and gives you everything in eternity? Who in their right mind is going to give that up? I think the Bible answers that in Psalm, I think it's 13, and is it in 51 or 52? The fool has said in his heart, there's no God, no need for salvation, no heaven. So we will eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's more to life. It'll be seen as God as an attempt to buy our way to heaven, all of our good works and all of the things that we do. And to say to him, we don't think your son did enough. We don't think that the suffering that he went through, those like a working day's worth of suffering, we don't think that that is enough to pay for our sins, that we can do better. That is you snubbing your nose at God. When he asks you to do something or lays something upon your heart and you say no, that is you, Christian, or me, Christian, saying no to God, and that doesn't please God. He gives us the complete forgiveness of sins, and people work hard for that, to try and have a peaceful mind, but the only one that can do that is Jesus, and he'll do it for free. And he gives people something that many, in fact I would say most people, are lacking in this day and age, and that is the greatest purpose, the purpose of God himself in every walk in this world, seeking and saving of lost souls. Now, it's not a competition, and it's not a matter of you or I having been saved saying to God, I owe you X, so I am going to pay back X. It's a relationship between a father, a loving, caring father, and their child. And the only time I ever came across it being put on paper was one day whenever this child said to their mother, Mum, I want $40 for my allowance this week. She said, why is that? She said, well, I did the vacuuming and I did the dishes and I cleaned up my bedroom and it took me 8 hours, and at $5 an hour, that's $40 you owe me. And Mummy went and wrote down all that she did for her child. Bought the clothes, washed the clothes, hung the clothes out to dry and ironed the clothes, stacked the clothes and put them in the wardrobe, went out and sourced fruit and vegetables and meat and potatoes for the dinners, prepared the meals, served the meals, and even did some of the dishes after the meals. Made sure that the laundry was all done for their bedclothes, for their sheets, made sure the house was clean, made sure that they got taxied to school and to their activities and back again, made sure that there were plasters stuck in knees, made sure that there were loving arms for crying children and hands to wipe away those sore tears. He says, you owe me $500 this week for all of the hours that I have spent tending to you. It's not like that, friends, because we will never pay back our parents what our parents did for us. We will never pay back Jesus or God for what God did for us, but we should want to do things for God, not to pay him back, but because we love him, and because we do owe a great debt, but because we love him. And it's not a matter of me beating Norman or Christy or Will, or Monica beating Ling or Ling beating Monica. We do for God because he loves us. And if we're saved, we ought to love him right back again. In the parables, the Lord used things that we have seen and experienced in our own lives as ways of reaching out to us and explaining things to us. And one of the things he constantly used was family. Husbands, look after your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Husbands, love your wives. It talks about children learning from their mothers and fathers. It talks about mothers and fathers raising their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we should want to do things for our families because they love us and they accept us without reservation. We are told also that our brothers and sisters in Christ were to treat them the same way. We're to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Why? Because we have the same Father, because we're saved, because the love of God that constrained Christ to come down to this wicked old world and live amongst us for 33 years and give his life for us on the cross is the same love that was shed abroad in yours and my lives when we accepted Christ as our Savior. It should constrain us. It should come out in our lives. Don't know if you've ever gone out, you gentlemen, with a button undone showing the colour of your vest. This might say your vest is showing. Sometimes it's maybe a shirt showing through a fly or the colour of your underpants, I don't know. Or whenever they say that your trousers are grinning at me. You ever heard that? Whenever the seam's about to go and you can see the white thread. Your Jesus should show from time to time. We should allow it out. It shouldn't show an accident. We should make a point of ministering to God. The whole point of all of the parables and the whole point of all of the miracles and the whole point of all the messages, of all the sermons, of the recorded and preserved word of God that we have today is that men and women, boys and girls, would get saved. And do you know what God said to us? Just before he went to heaven, he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He said, basically, tell people they need to get saved. That's the whole point, is getting people saved. And these people, these three women, and all of the other people that ministered to Jesus, had a hand in the 3,000 that got saved in the day of Pentecost. They had to have heard the gospel from somewhere. They had a hand in that. The disciples had a constant hand in the preaching and teaching of the cross. And of course we know that they received the cloven tongues of fire and the mighty rushing wind and the gift temporarily of speaking the gospel in known foreign languages so that people from right the way across the world heard the gospel and got saved. And I'm sure they came to the disciples in the same way that the tax collectors and the Roman soldiers and Jew public came to John the Baptist and said, what should we do? And the answer is, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Not everybody is a public speaker. If you'd said that to me 30 years ago, I would say you're absolutely right and I'm not one of them. I am not an eloquent speaker. I am a long speaker sometimes, but I am not eloquent. Some people are not going to be able to preach and espouse the finer points of the gospel or prophecy or creation. And there's days that I couldn't either. There's days that it's like wading through mud up on that mind, or as a fellow says, the lights are on but nobody's home. And unfortunately I've had too many of them over the past year. But you still can minister to Jesus. You still can minister to those souls that are lost out there. Whether it's a helpful hand and they say, well, I hope I'm not taking up too much of your time. And all you need to say is, God has saved me for the endless ages of eternity. 5 minutes or 10 minutes is not going to kill me right here and now. That's all that it takes. Or to be honest, whenever someone gives you change of £20, when you give them 10, says, look, I am almost certain that I only gave you £10. Say, well, that's very honest of you, they will say. Said, well, I have God watching over me, and even if it's not the right change, I'll survive. Or as I did one time, walking out with my pockets full of stuff from B&Q and didn't even know. And they let me through and nobody stopped me. That would have made a good entry in the Derry Journal. Pastor tries to steal from B&Q. And I went back in and I said, look, I walked out with that in my pocket. I never even thought about it. Said, that's very honest of you. And I had an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. That's the effect that Jesus in me has on me. I'm not here saying that we need more, that I need more money in the plate, or that I want more of your time. I'm not going to stamp my feet and grind my teeth and clench my fists and say you're not doing enough, because I don't know every moment of your life. I know we could probably all do a wee bit more, and we could probably all live a little bit closer to Jesus. Truth be told, we're all in that boat, because I came across another wee verse. It says in Luke 17, not too far away from where we are, when you've done all those things that are commanded you, you will say, we are unprofitable servants. And we've only done what we should have done. In other words, we've been paid. If you want to put it in a sheer monetary point of view, we've been paid, we've been saved forever. This is what God's expecting of you. Someday, in 2 Peter chapter 3, it tells us that this will all be gone. It's going to pass away with a great noise and a fervent heat. And the Word of God encourages us to consider that whenever we are deciding what direction our lives should go. All of these things, you know what, we might actually say goodbye to them. I'm hoping and praying the Lord comes back and snatches us all up to heaven. That's the most painless, and it's going to be the most thrilling and exciting way to go. But we ought to consider where it is we're going to be spent in our eternity, and how it is that we minister to Christ. How it is that we help the missionaries. We pray for all the folks on the prayer list. We look out for the brethren. These are the things we're commanded to do. Should you even take a couple of gospel tracts and leave them in the shop somewhere? Or, I don't know if people right now are too keen in getting pieces of paper pushed through their letterboxes. They might freak out, and I might have the CDC or the World Health Organization up at my door. Are you putting out pieces of paper that people have coughed and spluttered over in through people's doors? Do you not realize that? Anyway, but you get the idea. There's ways and means to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But the most important thing is that you point people to the cross. You don't drag them with your behavior and your deeds away from the cross. I was thinking of the old saying about an army marching on its belly. You ever heard that saying? I'm not sure what the exact statistics are, but for every one soldier on the battlefront, were there three or four support staff keeping them there? The logistics and the doctors, the cooks and chefs that are required to keep every soldier on the battlefront. And that's exactly the way it is. Not everybody's going to be the friendly face of the cross. Not everyone is going to be at the coal face where it comes to contending for souls. But everybody can minister. Everybody can help. Whether you're a cook or a chef, whether you're a doctor or a nurse, whether you're transport and logistics, or whether you're in supplies, or whether you're the one that's fighting on the front, you can all minister to the lost. You can all minister for the cause of Christ. And it's worth remembering that. Even if it's only prayer, if that is all you're able to do, the Word of God says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Remember that. We all need to be good ministers of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And who knows, there's a book in heaven with your name on it and all the things that you have done for the cause of Christ as well. So make sure you get a few more entries in there before it's time to go up and check that. Amen.
We'll sing a song.
I think we have one more out of here, if possibly. Where are... Did somebody pick one that I didn't get to sing in this morning? What was it?
Two.
Number two?
Is that...
Oh, do you want... Oh, I'm more than... Go on ahead, I'm not... We're not going to fall out with anybody for... this is one of my favourites. I love this. Let's stand as we sing this blessed old book. We've been talking about it, we might as well sing about it.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and warm. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Pray you have a good Lord's Day. Doors will be open again about 6:30 or 7:00. Look forward to seeing as many of you here as you can. Don't forget our prayer requests. Don't forget to pray for each other. Amen. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for our time in your presence. Please, Lord, I pray you, be with us as we go our separate ways. Look after our brothers and sisters in Christ across this country and across this world. And please, Lord, I pray, just really convict the lost about being saved and the saved about being busy. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands, tip elbows, tap toes. Do all that good stuff.